have prayed. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for such an opportunity again and a gathering to be gathered before you again to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the season that we are in, for the season that you have brought us into. Be magnified. Father, we ask that as we have gathered again before you, that you give every one of us here an encounter with you, definite touch and definite change. Let this be an experience and not just an attendance. Let this lead to a transformation and not just attendance. Something definite happened here tonight, Lord. Let the purpose of this gathering be accomplished and achieved in the lives of every participant here tonight. And let your name alone be highly exalted. Be glorified. We thank you. Magnify. In Jesus' most precious name, we are prayed.
Amen.
Welcome everyone tonight again. And we trust God that what He started thus He will complete with us. And the purpose of this gathering will be accomplished in our lives in the name of Jesus. We decreed or made it known yesterday that the purpose of these meetings happen for a season, and that we wouldn't just call such gatherings at such times, dense period as this, because these periods are very dense periods. And again, we say that only people who understand the relevance and the importance of spiritual things and prioritize spiritual things will understand the necessity of setting their time aside to be a part of and fellowship with the things that go on here and to separate themselves as it is required. You know, most times people are carried away with all the jamborees and all the excitement about the season, but they forget about what is most critical and important. Vision and the preparation that is necessary. Some people are very excited about the new year, and once the new year comes, they jump, celebrate and eat. And then what? They celebrate the new year for a day or two, but then the year still goes on for another 363 days. So at times it's very easy, if we are not sensitive, to be caught up with the things that do not matter, or the things that are fleeting and expedient and do not lead to profit. There is no reward for how you celebrate your new year. You ate this or you went to this place. The reward you will get is determined by the preparation that has been put in place and what is the strategy and the plan to be executed to achieve or to accomplish produce productivity or to arrive at productivity and efficiency. So don't be carried away. It's the Christmas and the season and the celebration, they will always come at the end of every year. But they are not what is entirely important. They are very great, but they are just for a period, a day, when life still goes on. This is very critical because it's not about entering a new year. What about the new year? And yesterday we were saying that if you celebrate naturally and you didn't transit spiritually, It will change. There won't be a difference that you enter. You may adjust your calendar and your numbering system changes. But how about your life, your daily experience, the events of your life, the seasons of your life, the cycles of your life? Was there a progression? Was there a change? These are the things that are important. So as much as it is necessary to have a time or two with people and individuals and family, there are other things that need to be put into perspective. And that is why we talk about, and that is why it's necessary, and we talked about the breaking of the seals. I got feedback yesterday that some of the things that we were saying, at some point there was a disconnection at the beginning, so a good portion of what we said was not received at the other end. And then I said that, okay, we'll try to see if we can talk about it again. We spoke from Isaiah chapter 29 verse 11, which says that the words of this vision has become to us like the words of a book that is sealed, and the book is given to one who is learned. And that's, and they said, read this. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. I want you to look at that narrative in the book of Isaiah chapter 29 verse 11. Here is a learned man who obviously can read. He can articulate written words and comprehend the message hidden in them, in their construct. But yet, the learned man is incapacitated because of a restrainer out of something that restrains, that is extrinsic, something that restrains, that is not from him. And for all that reason, the learned man is not the problem. He's not the reason why he doesn't have access. The issue on ground is beyond him. The issue is that the book remains sealed. And we're saying in that illustration that some persons are like that learned man, that there's no problem with them. They are faithful, they are true, obedient, spiritual. But yet they still find an inability. The man said, I cannot. They say, read it. He said, I cannot. That is a statement of incapacity. That is a statement of impossibility. A statement of inability. And there are many around you who have found that themselves, and that inability, that incapacity, that impossibility with them and in their life. And they take a review of their life to see where they must have gone wrong, or you know that. But here they can't find it. The same way that the learned man doesn't have a problem with his education. The only problem here in that scenario is that the books are sealed. So he can't have access. In the same way, when we have seasons and cycles in people's life that are sealed, the problem is not instant. It's not about them. It's not within them. It's just that they are running around with details that have been sealed, and they cannot. There's inability, there's impossibility, there's incapacity. And like we were saying, that the book that John the Apostle revealed in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5 was sealed 7 times. That is, one level of encoding was not enough. It was sealed 7 times. And so for complete access to the details of that book, there had to be 7 levels of unsealing. And so we said yesterday that there may be people here whose life are sealed 14 times, 21 times, maybe 135 times. And each level of unsealing gives a level of information that is necessary. Until there is that progression, or there is a new level of unsealing, this individual will find themselves operating only within a territory. That's why you see in the book of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel got to a point that there was a seal over the direction. They couldn't get, God wasn't speaking in direction anymore. So they started moving in circles. Until God said that you have tarried around this mountain for long. Move southward. And then that gave them a perspective. It gave them a target. It gave them direction. So if we run into 2024 with seals that are supposed to be broken, you would be celebrating a new year, but the same story of the previous year still followed you into the new year. So we must approach these things with every understanding of spiritual implications. What these things imply spiritually. Don't be carried away with the festivity and the new. What are you celebrating the new year for? Why are you celebrating the new year? Thank God for the gift of life. But then what? It's only those who have prepared well for the year that should celebrate the year well, because they have a hope that this one will produce for us. And that is why you are here tonight and here in this meeting, to receive details of how to receive unsealings of details, revelations, instructions, directions from God on how to proceed into your next season, so that you will not repeat the same events and the same mistakes again. Praise the Lord. Somebody here, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So tonight, we are going to show us by God's word what it takes to enter a new season. What it takes to enter a new season. What it takes to enter the new season. The season that is upon us that will transit very soon. And this is not just about natural implication or natural events. It's because something spiritual is taking place also. We are entering into a leap year. And so, what that means is that by the following year, there's going to be something extra about the following year. So, you need to have perspective. Please take years, times, and seasons very serious, because people's lives are built around it. Tonight you are receiving this doctrine, this teaching, these instructions, this word on how to enter the new year, how to enter the new season, how to enter the season that is said to be, so that you will not be carried away just with the festivity and then what, and then what, and then what, and then what. Father, we give you praise. So tonight we carry on this unveiling of this scrolls, of these seals, entering a new season, how to enter a new season. Now listen to this. As we are speaking, many scrolls and beyonds are opened. As we are speaking, many scrolls are going to be opened. Pay attention to the word that applies to you, because different seals require different unlocking. That is why you are here tonight. Some of you will live here with a body of visions and body of revelations and body of direction that will set the stage for what God will show to you beginning from tonight as you go into the new year. it will set the stage for you. It will set the stage for you. We've had that those kinds of events where somebody taught, a message somebody shared. We listened to it over and over again, then out of it became the foundation building blocks for the direction of speech, for the direction of the speech of God, the discourse of God that give direction, that give instruction and insight into the things that were to come. Some of us are receiving those kinds of things so that when we leave this place tonight, we'll go forward to build also our own lives, build also our own direction, build also our own destinies according to God's will. We began by saying yesterday about the fact that every person, every living thing here has encoded in his cell, in him, what is referred to as the DNA, his own DNA, and this DNA is unique. The DNA gives instruction and direction for his progression, how he develops. We said that the believer is born by God's word, as Peter the apostle revealed to us that ye are born of God's word. The word of God is the seed that was sown to achieve you. So the word of God carries the details of your development. Your DNA is written in scriptures. Your DNA is the prophecy of scriptures. That's why the apostle said that you are born by the living word of God. It's not the English language word. It's the word of God that abides, that is living. So it sets the stage for you. It sets the stage for us. That is why the life of the believer is fundamentally rooted on what the scripture decrees. Fundamentally rooted on what the scripture decrees. An organism does not develop to be anything more than what his DNA has been programmed to develop to. That's why a lion will always give birth to a lion. A chicken will produce a chicken. A cow will produce likewise. Man will produce likewise. The word of God will produce according to the word of God, not contrary to it. So if you are born of God's word, you will develop and progress according to God's word, not contrary to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So yesterday we began to talk about the year, and we said, we're being made to understand by God's word, by God himself, that the two-part nature, what's going to happen, and that there's hope for the believer because God promises good will come to them. But on the other hand, the scripture does not speak good about what will befall the earth, even the prophetic testaments. But also we said that there's also a problem, because even though the scripture speaks good about the believers, not every believer will experience good. Because of their manner of people. Jesus said that in the world you will have tribulations. He said that the whole world lies in wickedness. So there's something in the world. He said perilous times shall come. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. When people who are of God yoke themselves and come under the world and begin to behave like the world, the prophecy for the world will come upon them. Because they are not aligning to be like what the scripture has prophesied about them. There's a prophecy for the world. There's a prophecy for the church. When somebody takes up fellowship with the world, he aligns himself with them, they will come to the other side of the prophecy. Like we showed yesterday, Jesus said to the people that, I am the Son of God. And they got angry and said, I wanted to kill him. And he said, why are you angry? He said, we don't stone you because of your good works, but because you are a man, but yet you make yourself equal to God by saying that you are a God. You are a son of God. And Jesus said to them that, is it not written in your law that ye are gods and children of the Most High? So these people had taken a perspective that didn't receive that portion of prophecy. And what the scripture say, it say, ye are gods and all of you children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men. They had a destiny of being gods, but eventually they ended up dying like men. That is gods, people that were supposed to be gods because they were children of God, they ended up dying like men. Why? They took a posture that didn't agree with what the word of God. So the other side of the divide came upon them. But Jesus came and he aligned with the word of God. So he said he was God's son, and by that they were angry. And he said, well, this is what the scripture said. And furthermore, scripture teaches us that a man who is in honor, if he doesn't understand, he will perish like the beast. So there are people who will be perishing like the beast because though they are in honor, they do not understand. And because they are not in understanding, their action and their attitude is not informed. Do we understand? The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing, but with all that get understanding. Because you will need understanding to know how to act. Is that important? Glory to God. So, what then is the key? Because since there is a tendency to align wrongly, though the scripture speaks positively about it, what's the key to walking in the reality of what scripture makes available for you? What is the key to walk in rest in the time of peril? What is the key? And we said that we mentioned that key yesterday, and we said that the believer will have to attain to what we refer to as acquaintance with his God. The believer will have to attain to what we refer to as acquaintance with his God. Job chapter 28:21. Very familiar passage of the Bible. Look at what it says. Oh, I beg your pardon. I think I had it backwards. Alright. Alright, Job chapter 22:21. Let me read that for us. Look at what it says. It said, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Acquaint yourself with him. What does it mean to acquaint yourself with somebody? To acquaint means to become familiar with, to begin to develop a mutual awareness. to begin to come into knowledge of a person or a thing. To familiarize yourself. To come into friendship or getting to know each other. Now, acquainting oneself with a person does not require a middle person, an intermediary. What it means is that this interaction has to be direct. There can be no third party between them. These people are acquainting themselves with each other. This is serious because most of the times there is a tendency to be acquainted with God's knowledge, but not necessarily God's person. And in that way, most persons think that they have attained and accomplished a thing. But the knowledge of God in this regard is not the same as the knowledge of God himself. They are the same thing. The knowledge of God has to do with the knowledge of his doctrine, the knowledge of his teachings, what he accomplished as salvation, knowledge of the things of God, the principles of holiness, and all that. But not knowing God direct as a person. And I'm going to give us some illustrations to clarify this. I am a person. And there are people that know me. If you meet one of the people here who know me personally, and they talk to you always about me, tell you things about me, this is the color of his favorite color, this is what he likes wearing, this is what he doesn't like, this is the kind of person he is, these are certain things that no matter what you do, you will never do them. This is the kind of person he is, this kind of thing happened with him, this is where he attended, went for his primary school, his nursery school was here, he attended the secondary school, he was in this department, the university, this and this and that and that, this is where he now works. You can have all those information, knowledge about me, and become familiar with who I am. And you can even, when people are having a discussion about me, you can still bring your own contribution. And because you have Peter or somebody who knows me to a great extent, or who knows me to an extent, depending on whoever you meet, you can give him to everybody and say, wow, then you really know him. You really know him a lot. And still, at the end of the day, you don't know me. Why? Because you don't have direct access to me. Where I am talking to you, you are talking back, and we have an acquaintance with each other. What most people have and celebrate is maybe an acquaintance with the revelation of God's the head they picked up from somewhere, or acquaintance with about the things about God, the tabernacle, the teachings, they have heard it, they have sure they have read the scripture and are familiar with the treatment of the narrative of scripture. But yet, there is no direct familiarity with the person and the author of that book. Then there is no acquaintance. That is why the book says, acquaint yourself now with him. It didn't say with it, with his ways, or with the things he likes, or with the things he promises, but rather he says, acquaint yourself with him. Him is a
personal. It is referring to a noun, a personification, not an object, but rather it's the central subject of this thing. Acquaint yourself with him. That is, now have direct access to him. Start becoming familiar with him. Start coming into knowing him. That is, not that, tell us about God now. John chapter 3, verse 16. This is what he did. This is what God did. This is what God did. This is what God did. This is what beautiful. Now, tell us about him with you.
That is a realm everybody must cross. Somebody may seem to be confused a little bit, so let's use scriptures to show us certain things. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want you to see certain things. First Samuel chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. We know the story of Samuel and how he was born. Now look at what he said. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now, this is very interesting, because the same way it is now in contemporary times, we can be calling Samuel minister Samuel. Samuel was not ministering, he was ministering directly to the Lord, because Samuel was staying inside the tabernacle where all the sacred things were. He was in the tabernacle where all the mysteries and everything concerning the tabernacle were present. So at this point already, Samuel had the title, you could call him Minister Samuel. Mr. Samuel Eliakim, right? So Samuel was ministering to the Lord. They had a pastor in the church, in the sanctuary. The name was Eli. And Samuel would minister to God. And the same way the choir member would come and take a worship, and the pastor would sit down, overseeing the service under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Is there as the authority within the, as the service is ongoing, to coordinate if the word come and take over from there and teach the word, or if something is out of place, we'll ask the assistant pastor, do this, do that, because he's trying to organize the service so that there is order and structure inside. So Samuel is the minister under the hand of Eli. Eli was the pastor in the house. So he was already ministering to the Lord, not to the people self. He was ministering to the Lord direct. But something had happened. They say the word of the Lord was rare in those days. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There was no widespread revelation. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Now this is the Lord that Samuel had been ministering to. He has been worshiping him, singing to him, praising him, reciting the psalms and all the sacred hymns and everything. But when the Lord, the person he had claimed to be ministering to all the while, or scripture reveals that he was ministering to him, when he called him, Samuel ran to the wrong person. And then the scripture told us why. And the scripture showed us that in verse 7, 1 Samuel 3:7. He says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. But it started by saying that, but Samuel ministered to the Lord. But verse 7 gave us details as to why, when the Lord started calling, Samuel was mistook it for some other person. Scripture gave, and that's why that you see that portion in scripture. If your Bible is like the Bibles we have, you see it in brackets. It was a commentary
was an insight to make us understand why it was so with Samuel. Because the scripture had begun by telling us that Samuel was already ministering to the Lord. But it's telling us why Samuel was missing the voice, because now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So there were two things yet that Samuel was still lacking: the knowing of God, and then the revelation of the word of God to him.
But yet, Samuel was ministering to the Lord.
Do we see that? That's what we are talking about. The key is that acquaint thyself with him. Many a times we have substituted our ability to quote scripture. I understand the scope of the doctrine of redemption. You can narrate clearly why this doctrine makes sense. You can explain everything around. But that is not the same as the knowing of him. At this point, Samuel was he was ministering in the sanctuary. You see, where he was staying was where the precious things were, the sacred things, the menorah, the brazen altar. He was already in the presence. He was a minister to the Lord. He said he ministered to the Lord directly. At this point, he had the title already. He was Minister Samuel. But scripture will tell us that he still didn't know the Lord. That's why you see, the scripture says, acquaint now thyself with him. With him. Direct. It's so funny how some persons claim to have a walk with God, but yet no, they have not started, because God has not yet been revealed to them. Now, it's a level, it's a realm, you know, right? Because Samuel was progressing, he was ministering to the Lord, and you could have understanding of salvation and abide by the laws of scriptures and the doctrine of redemption, justification, and all that. But so that it doesn't bring you to a place where you mistake the knowledge of a thing as to knowing the thing personally. And because he himself is a person, knowing his name, knowing what he likes and where he goes, where he walks, does not entail knowing him directly. Many of us know great people that are very popular. We know the president of countries. So we know their history. We know where they schooled, the universities they went to, the states they came from. And if there's a discussion or a debate or an argument now, we can say many things about this. And people will be like, wow, that means you know this guy a lot too. We'll be like, yes. But that knowing him is only knowledge about an information. If he sees you, he may not recognize you. He doesn't know you. What I'm saying, what is that? There's acquaintance between the both of you.
Acquaint now thyself with him. Let me show you what Paul said to the church in Corinthians. The book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. This is what he said to the church. He said, verse 34, he said, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. is the church he wrote that to, that there are people in the church that don't know God. Now, this is the New Testament. That there are people in the church that do not know God. And he said it's to their shame. What will be the key? Acquaintance with him. You must be acquainted with him as a person, as a person, as a person. Him. That is, you receive from him and you give to him. When there's the matter and the subject of acquaintance, like we said, there's no intermediary. There's no trust. It's a direct access. Acquaintance with God. Praise the Lord. Samuel was ministering to the Lord, but the scripture said Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now listen, it's possible for you to even walk in signs and wonders and still do not yet know the Lord, because the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So the gifts of the Spirit can flow through you. But the knowledge of God is different on another level. You can, if you are a believer, you can walk in signs, certain levels of signs and wonders through acting on the word of God in faith. Because you could see in the New Testament church, almost everybody that could walk in signs. He said the signs will follow them that believe. In his name they were cast. As a matter of fact, even before Jesus resurrected, there was somebody who was not among the disciples that was still casting out devils. And they had to tell him and reported to him that we saw one casting out devils in your name and we forbade him. And he said, no, don't do that. Why? Because they believed in his name. And they took with that faith, they acted upon it and his authority delivered. Acquaint now thyself with him. That him alone, that him in that statement, should capture our hearts. In all of these things we are doing, there is a him that we have to be acquainted with. In all of this profession and the claims that we are having, there is a him. There is a him. H-I-M. There is a him in all of this. In this display, in this progression, in this design, in this arrangement, there is still a him we have to be acquainted with. So, are you acquainted with him? You can be seeing vision and seeing dreams and still not be acquainted with him. Most of times, people build their relationship with God on the signs they can see. When they stop seeing dreams and seeing visions, something's out of it. When they pray and they start seeing their body, say, yeah, God is back with me. So the God that you know is the God you'll be seeing only in your dreams. So if you don't dream again, you can't walk with God. You should have been sleeping for a living. Be sleeping for a living. You just lie on the bed and be dreaming about God. But they didn't realize that in the Old Testament, even people that were not believers, God was giving them dreams. Pharaoh saw dreams. Abimelech saw a dream. Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream. As a matter of fact, in the days of Gideon, God gave the dream to the enemy army to solidify Gideon's faith when the soldier narrated to his colleague that he saw a bread tumbling into the camp and the whole camp was shaking.
God gave those kinds of people dreams. But some people hinged the effectiveness of their relationship with God on their capacity to see a dream. It's possible for you to be seeing visions and see a dream and still not be acquainted with Him yet. There is a person behind all that. I could send you gifts, know your address, and order you something. Thank God there are e-commerce platforms now. We order and then give an address, put a phone number. And the delivery guy comes, next thing you see, it's a cake. And you say, who ordered the cake for me? Say, well, we don't know, but your name and number was on the order. And that's why it's here before you, in front of your house. And you eat the cake and have a good time and celebrate, it's your birthday. And the next time, I order you a shirt. And you put it on, it's nice. And you go to service with it, it's looking good. And then I order you just keep ordering stuff. A new device, a handphone, what do you call it? A mobile phone. And it's higher than the mobile phone you were using, so you changed it. And you'll be enjoying the gifts I'm sending you. And then you are informed, this gift is coming from somewhere. And there's an evidence that you have the gifts, the phone is with you, the shirts are there. Gifts and interventions from you, for you are there, you know. And still don't know who is sending it. And still not be acquainted with me. Acquaint now thyself with Him. There is a Him to be acquainted with. Not acquaint now thyself with the dream. Not acquaint now thyself with visions from Him. Not acquaint now thyself with demonstrations, working in the signs. Not acquaint now thyself with blessings. You see, behind all of these things, there is a Him. There is a Him. There is a Him. There is a Him. There is a Him to be acquainted with. If this is in place, my God, that is one of the critical things that must be grounded properly, secured, and must be in place. Every one of us must strive to come to that point where we were acquainted with Him. Father, we give you praise. With Him. With Him. With Him. With Him. The acquaintance with Him holds everything that we come to topple, shake, or toss us to and fro. Because now you know that there is a Him in the equation. Acquaint now thyself with Him. Him. Many persons have not stopped to give attention that there is a Him behind all of this. And so they pray in tongues, but to them the tongues is an it. And that's why I see somebody will report and say that, and then something told me. I felt it. Something was telling me. I felt something inside my heart just leading me. It does not enter their consciousness that there is a Him behind it. Some pray in tongues, and to them the tongues is just a feeling. Some pray in tongues, and to them the tongues is just an ability they have by virtue of whatever. And then they just flow with the gifts and develop, study the gifts, have a robust understanding and perception of the gifts, how to walk in it. But yet, they have left behind the Him that is the centrality of it. If some persons are asked to share the knowledge of God, they will only be able to talk about their visions, what they see about people, and then that they work in healing, they can pray and people get healed, and then explain stuff about redemption and the seals and the story of Moses. And then in all of their sharing, it will be clear that they do not have an acquaintance with him behind all of this. And this is possible. Samuel, when he was ministering to the Lord, could explain to you how to hold the incense, what the incense is made up of, the materials. He could tell you the protocol, how to lay offerings, what should be done. He would describe in details for you the procedure and the protocol of the priesthood in the presence. But when they will give a witness about him, they say he don't. It will take a very discerning person to want to listen to Samuel teaching at about the early time and discern that, well, Samuel is vast in knowledge as per the things of God, but Samuel still does not know God yet. And many it are that be like that. That in all the abundance of their speech and their ability to explain a whole lot of difficult concepts and make it very clear, can still discern that they do not know him. The knowledge of him in all of their knowledge is little, because God will have to be experienced, just like how you experience a person. You must all strive to attain to acquaintance with him. This is a critical requirement. If you want to excel very far in the year that is to come. And we are going to say, lead us to understand why. We could have outlined 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 point things, but this is the centrality of all. Once this is gotten, it will deliver the rest of the keys. Now somebody says to me, and somebody begins to ask, how then can we be acquainted with him? How? I've tried. I've sought to know him. I've sought to come into revelation and understanding. How can it be? I've served God for a while. No supernatural demonstration. Many people have reported Jesus walking into their room. I don't have that. I've not had that. No angels, no sight, no loud voice from out of nowhere talking to me out of the void. How can I come to this? Which brings us to instruct us in this as to how he reveals himself. How God reveals himself. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you. Get to the best. Get to the best. Never cut a corner to God. Praise the Lord. I hope we are writing the things that have been said. That's a good sign of somebody who's taking what's going on seriously. I hope you are taking out the time to write. Because no matter how skilled you are, you will need to have some things written down for your own edification. Praise the Lord. Now, how does God reveal himself? We read about Samuel that now Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. But then he said that, but Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him. I want you to look at what began to happen in that 1 Samuel chapter 3. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, from verse 4
the scripture says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am." And so he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." This was where the Bible had to tell us what was going on. Samuel did not know the Lord and all that. And then the verse 8, he said, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to him, 'Go lie down. And it shall be if he calls again that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Now look at what verse 10 said. Now, are we there? Glory to God. I want us to pay attention to verse 10.
Yes, sir.
Look at what verse 10 says. Now, the Lord came and stood and called Samuel at other times. Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." I want you to notice that the scripture says, the Lord came and stood. So, God actually came to the boy. And the scripture said, and called as other times. So, when God was calling Samuel, it wasn't from heaven. God was standing. You didn't see this. He said, and the Lord came and stood. So, the Lord was before him. Because obviously, he was before the Lord. So, his scripture says, and now God came and stood before the boy. But listen, even though God stood, what Samuel was hearing was a voice. He took the revelation of the compilation of this book, which happened, of course, obviously, after this event had taken place, to show to us that God came, stood before him when he was calling. If Samuel had seen the vision of the Lord standing and calling, he wouldn't have mistook it for Eli's voice, because he would have seen that there is such an appearance before me now, and this voice is the voice, this is the person speaking. When Paul the apostle had the encounter on the way to Damascus, he didn't mistake it that it was any of the people around that spoke, because he saw the light and saw the voice coming from the appearance. But on the other hand, when Jesus prayed a prayer and said, "Father, glorify thy name," and if a voice responded and said, "I have glorified it and we glorify it again," the people were confused. So some said it was thunder, others said that an angel had spoken. Because you know why? They were mistaken. They didn't see with their eyes what had spoken. But in Paul's case, he couldn't mistake what had spoken, because there was before him a great light. If there was no light and he was going and he just heard "Saul, Saul," he would suspect that one of the soldiers was trying to play a prank on him, that one of them had spoken. But wondrously here, we see that when the voice was calling Samuel at that time, God was already standing. God had came to him. Look at what I like to put, say, now the Lord came and stood. So at that point in the tabernacle, the Lord had, he had come to where Samuel was standing. He came there and then stood there and then called him. It's as though you are lying on your bed and somebody walked and said, "James, yeah, he's calling you," and you hear your name. But some appearance or his sight, he only heard a voice. And so he concluded that the voice was coming from the closest person to him. What I'm pointing out to us is this, that for God to be revealed to you, you don't have to first see a sight. You don't have to first see his sight.
And that was why Samuel missed it at first. Because since there was no vision, there was no sight, there was no apparition, no appearance before him,
he reasoned it was the voice of Eli.
But at that time when the voice was calling, sir, God had already come to him and put him before him.
How many times has God come to stand before us? So, glory to God. Father, we thank you. So, Samuel was there. God had come and stood before him. But Samuel didn't see him.
So, if God to be revealed to you, you don't need an apparition.
And that's where many miss it. I have not seen God come yet. God had not appeared to me. You know?
But that day, God was standing where Samuel was lying down.
But he only heard a voice.
How does God reveal himself?
Let's look at the scripture again as we continue. Now the Lord came and stood and called us other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, servant hears. And God began to tell Samuel the things that would happen, and he spoke and spoke and spoke. Now look at how the word of God concludes the 21st chapter of that 21st verse of that third chapter. He said, then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is very glorious. What the scripture is telling us there is that Samuel knew God by his word. God began to speak to him. He began to know God. It was through God's word that Samuel began to know God. So let me share with you some basic principles of the knowledge of God. Now listen, you have to memorize them. They are like the basic principles. Maybe one of them will suffice, or maybe two or three. The first basic principle is that God cannot be known unless he is revealed. That is, God can't be known unless he is revealed. And for him to be revealed, he has to be willing to reveal himself. That's a basic principle. If God is not willing to reveal himself, it doesn't matter how you will try, you won't know him. It's a basic principle. In mathematics, there's what is called axioms. Axioms are the basic building blocks of mathematical truth. And some of them form the basic principle of geometry. An angle at angles at a point is 360. And a straight line is 180. Alternate angles are equal. Two parallel lines meet at infinity. The angle at the circumference is the angle at the center is twice the angle at the circumference. Axioms, just the basic principle from which you build edifices, and they are used for construction, architecture, and engineering. God cannot be known unless he is revealed. So if there is God, if somebody is claiming to know God and God has not revealed himself, it's a lie. These are basic principles. Basic principles. You can't know God unless God wants to be revealed. Because God is not a concept. You can study mathematics from a textbook. You take a textbook and say, okay, I want to understand permutation. And you go for 3 months and you study everything you need to know about permutation. And then, boom, you understand it. That's a concept, it's a subject, it's a topic. But on the other hand, God is not a subject, it's not a topic, it's a person. So he has a will. And the same way you see some of us, you know, you meet somebody for the first time, what's your name? He said, he doesn't answer you.
If he doesn't tell you his name, you can't know the name by any natural means. And even if somebody tells you the name, you can't get to know them if they don't open up to you. So there are people that are up there, you meet them somewhere, hello, they don't even respond. What's your name? They don't answer you. You can't even ask them where they are from. You don't even remember. And you can't study them externally and say you know that. You may know their height, estimate their weight, guess where they are coming from because of their appearance, say this, say that, and even get the facts about them, but you don't have the relationship. Why? Because they are not willing to make themselves open to you. God, for God to be known, God has to be revealed. And basic point number, out from that, we extrapolate further that a man cannot reveal God to you. God has to reveal himself to you. So true. God can, by his anointing on a person, reveal himself to you through a person. But it has to be God doing that. It has to be God doing that. A man cannot reveal God to you. God has to be the one to reveal himself to you. Which is why you see that Paul preached the same gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles. Every time the Jews will stone him, or there will be crisis. But anytime he preaches to the Gentiles, they will receive him. The reason is because God had ordained the ministry of Paul to the Gentiles. So when Paul decides to preach to the Jews, the Spirit and the revelation of God's word doesn't necessarily pass through him or is effective towards the Jews as to the Gentiles. And that's why you see he himself testified in Galatians chapter 2 that when he went to Jerusalem church, the apostles saw that he that worketh effectually to the apostleship to the Jews worked in, he was also at work in him to the apostleship to the Gentiles. So he realized that where God is working in me, but he desires to reveal himself through me to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. The last part of Paul's life, as the scripture reveals in the book of Acts, it shows that the elders of the Jews in Rome, where Paul was taken to after the ship, there was a shipwreck, and he rented the house. They came to him and he reasoned with them all from morning till evening. Sir, some still left there not believing. Some say, well, I think there's some truth in what this guy said. But then he said, well, this is what God has said. Then he quoted a scripture. And he said that God has said that he was going to shine a light to the Gentiles. If Paul was learning, Paul had the of Jesus Christ, the testimonies of his revelation, if it was within Paul's power, Paul would have revealed God to them. But there was a restraining because the order of ministries were different. It doesn't matter if Enoch the Great by God comes to reveal Christ to you. If Christ does not desire to be known to you, no matter what he says, you won't be able to apprehend it. Therefore, it is God that reveals himself. Look at what Jesus Christ said. He said, no man knows the Father except the Son, nor the Son except the Father, and to him whom the Father desires to reveal. When Matthew 16, when Peter revealed Christ, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this, but my Father in heaven. These are basic principles of God's knowledge. For God to be known, he has to be revealed. A man cannot reveal God to you. Only God reveals himself to you. And a man who has God in him can reveal God to you by God walking through him. And that's why you see there are people, I've had my pastor, very anointed, unbelievably anointed. He had somebody he trained in school, gave him a book to read, preached to him, and the last time he told the story, the guy is still not saved. This is somebody that if the author calls in outdoor and in the thousands. If he was within his power, he will carry God and put inside this guy. But he can't make the guy accept, even though God himself is willing. Now, these are basic principles. But is God willing to reveal himself? Yes. So God has yielded and longed for it from the beginning of time that he should be known by his people. Which is why he sent the covenants. Because what the covenant does is to reveal God. And that's why you see that from the beginning of the covenant, the people met with God in Mount Sinai. And when Christ will come, God sent his son and revealed himself to us through his son. So the covenant, the purpose of the covenant is to reveal Christ, is to reveal God. Not just for people to keep laws, but sometimes people miss the objective and only keep the laws and miss that there is a him to be acquainted with. Now, acquaint thyself with him. And basic principle number three, this is not basic, this is one of the centrality of this precept, is that God desires to be revealed. It is the will of God to be revealed. It is God's will for him to be known. In short, he had to tell the prophet, he said, the time will come that they will not say to these people, know the Lord, for every one of them will know me. He said, I will remove this, their heart of stone, and put in them a heart of flesh, and they will be my God, I'll be their God, they'll be my people, and I will write my laws in their mind. He said, as there will be such an intimacy that they won't have to read books to know me. Something intuitive about them will be informing them about me. They will know me by default. Again, how does God reveal himself? Most people wait for the apparition of God, the appearance, the burning bush. But it doesn't have to be that way. When God stood before Moses, Samuel, to call, he didn't see God. He heard only his voice and he thought it was Eli. But God was standing there. So it's possible for God to stand before you to reveal himself to you and you are not aware. Because you have waited for the spectacular and not understood that the supernatural can be supernatural without being spectacular. I'll show you what Moses said with regards to this in a moment. We have the biggest compendium of the revelation of God. There's no limit to which we can now know God. Because we have the biggest compendium and assemblage of God's knowledge. God will be revealed to you in gloriously, and it will suffice. Through his word. Somebody say through his word.
Through his word.
Most of us don't understand the implication. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. There is a mystery there. Please pay attention and listen. There is a mystery there. The word of God is not English language. That's where people miss it. And this is such a glorious revelation delivered to us many years ago. The word of God is not English. Because even what we read in English was not written in English. Some were reading in Hebrew, some in Aramaic, and then in Greek. God showed us this. This was revealed to us many years ago. And I showed us yesterday in the book of 1 Peter. Where we read yesterday. Let's pull it out for us to see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory. Now let's look at what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23, he said, being born again,
when you hear the concept of burning or being born, you know, there's life. Something living is spoken of. Being born again. Born again, until it becomes a cliche. We don't understand that it means that you are actually reborn. The same way a baby was born, there was a seed, there was conception, there was life that day. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We don't understand. Look at this. Which liveth. The word is living. God. It's not English. English is not living. The word is living. And it abides. Which is why Jesus said to his disciples that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. So the word of God is spirit and life. And spirit and life, it's what accounts for a living being. A living being. You know, when God created Adam, he was lying on the ground lifeless. Then he breathed the spirit. Spirit and life. The Hebrew word is ruach, ruach. And then he became a living being. And that's why you see when man dies, the body rottens, but he continues to live because what animated him is life and spirit. So Jesus said, the words, don't mistake it. I may speak Aramaic to you and add a little Greek, but what I'm saying, they are spirit and life. And that's why you see the Bible says that the word was God. So when they say Jesus is the word of God, don't see English or Greek. See the spirit and life, the essence of God. So when we say God reveals himself through his word, oh my God, the mystery there is a logos that holds a divine being, a rhema. It's the same way you put your water in a cup. The cup is important. It's what holds it, but you don't drink the cup. You drink its content. The same way the scripture is, the language, the English holds the logos. In the beginning, that's the logos. But then God comes and brings out to you the rhema. That is why the scripture will have to be revealed to you under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. And that is why I said to us, as basic principles of the knowledge of God, or of how God reveals himself, that if God does not will to be known, you can't know him on your own. Because every time you hit the book, you will only hit the logos. You will only hit the logos. So, how can you acquaint yourself with him, sir? The surest way is delivered to you. It is through the scriptures. This is not a normal experience. That's why I told us this story over and over and again, that God, Jesus, Kenneth Hagin wanted to do something and said he was waiting for Jesus to appear to him and tell him what to do. And then he had an encounter. I think he fell and broke his arm or something. And so he was admitted. And then Jesus appeared to him in the hospital and told him. He said, you have been waiting for me to give you instruction. I've been speaking to you through my spirit. Yet you have not heeded me. Because you sought for an appearance as this to come and tell you what to do. He said, this is going to be the last time I will appear like this to give you instruction. So that I will instruct you through my spirit inside you. And then he went further to explain these words. And these were Jesus' words to him. That many people with spectacular and miss the supernatural. He said, but the supernatural doesn't have to be spectacular. What he means by spectacular is the appearance of a great light, of a great this, of a great that. Right? He said, no. The witness of the spirit inside of you may not be spectacular. He said, but it is supernatural. The encounter with God's word is not a natural experience. It's not that we're reading the scriptures and you were understanding it. It's that all of a sudden, the logos passed. And then the living word of God came out of it. And God, it may be the same thing you were reading, but then the living word came out. That living word is what John told us, that word is God. And which is why you see that though God appeared to Samuel in Shiloh and stood by him
and he didn't know it was God speaking, because he didn't see when God stood. But scripture saying to him and stood by him. He said, and God and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. So how does God reveal himself to you? It is through his word. This is very important. Abraham was in Mesopotamia before he got to Haran, and then he heard the voice speak to him. He said, Abraham, get out of your father's house, of your country, to a land that I will show you. And then when he heeded the voice, then onwards the manifestations began. Eventually, after the voice and the word came, Samuel will start having clear visions and experiences. And then it became a vision to him, and he began to have visions, but not first without the revelation of God. So, acquaint now thyself with him, J.C. him. But that him, John has revealed to us that in the beginning was the word. It's not the English language. At that point in the beginning, there was no language of man. Neither English, nor Greek, nor Aramaic, nor Hebrew, nor Latin. None was in existence. That word that existed was the living word. You see, that word was God. So when he said that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life, he's telling you that out of that word, I will manifest myself. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, when he talks about the heavens opened and one descending from heaven with the clouds of heaven, you know that he was crowned with many crowns and he had a bow in his hand. You know that when the heavens parted and then one sat upon it and there was a white horse. I think that's Revelation chapter 19. You know that they told us that he had a name that nobody knew. Look at what the scripture says. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful, True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and that. He said he had a name written that no one knew except himself. But if you go to verse 13, he now said, and his name is called the Word of God. You are still thinking it's English language. You missed it again. Acquaint now thyself with him. But then, you see the scriptures before you, the Bible. That is enough for you to have encounter with God. So if you can't travel into the spirit realm to see God, or enter the spirit realm, look for the gates and break entry, what they call breaking an entry, to see where is the Father. I want to see him. I want him to be revealed to me. God has given you his word. These words part the veil, and there is the living word of God. Many persons don't know that one, the word that speaks. Many persons know this, the English language, the God so loved the world and he gave himself, the begotten Son, to, you know, and in any man being Christ, they know the English word. But very few have persevered in that until they broke through and accessed the living word. The living word is not available to everybody. That's why the basic principle of how God revealed himself is that God doesn't want to be known. He can't be known. Because God is a living being, a spirit. He has a will. If I don't want you to know me, you won't know me. You ask me my name, I won't answer you. That's why you see, when Saul had messed up, he sought God. They say God didn't answer him through prophets, through Urim and Thummim or visions. God didn't answer Saul again. He refused to reveal himself to Saul. I have nothing to do with him. The same way somebody you may display somebody and the person is angry, you call him, he doesn't want to pick, you send text message, he doesn't want to reply, text me. You go to his house, you knock, they say he doesn't want to come there, he's in his room. They say, tell him, I say he doesn't want to see you. That is, it's a will. What he wants, he will.
my brethren, you have been furnished.
How will you be on this lane? According to what we began to speak yesterday, the key to assessing the provisioning of God for the believer, for the child of God, is this. The people that will align with the prophecy of scripture, as we have said, that the prophecy, there are two parts. The scripture speaks of good for the people of God, promises good, but it promises contrary for the world. But the believers who will align with the world and be yoked with the world, the prophecy of the world will play over them. Because if you are gods and children of the Most High, but you deviate from that code, you will die like men. And a man who is in honor and does not understand will perish like the beast. You will acquaint yourself with him. There is no surer way of how God reveals himself through the world. The father of faith, Abraham, God spoke, revealed himself to him through his word. And God said to Abraham, and the Lord had said to Abraham, he has said. And when Abraham assessed that word, that's where his journey with acquaintance with God began. Samuel, God came to him, stood before him. He didn't see God. God spoke to him. He missed the voice. Went to the wrong person. But when he received these words, then the scripture said God began to uncover himself. When he says that God revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, the word is Nagah. He began to uncover himself. The same way something that is covered with a cloak is removed. See, and God uncovered himself to Samuel. That means know me. Know me. Through his word. The scriptures are before you. They contain thousands of years of prophetic speakings from God and fresh speakings from God. It is enough for God to reveal himself. If you have just these scriptures and the word of God, the spirit of God, you have what it takes to come to God's revelation for the rest of your life and beyond. So therefore, how does one enter into the year? The requirement is acquaint yourself with him. And someone say, how do I acquaint myself with him? Through his word. Because the word is alive, because God himself is his word. Not knowledge about the word himself, but when you meet with him at the place of the word, he will begin to reveal himself to you by his word. The same way he revealed himself by his word to Samuel. So, what is left? There is the transition, and you can be an entirely different person as you progress into the year. Like I told you, don't just celebrate the natural transition. It's the new year. You come on the this, the that. Will it be a new year indeed for you? Will the season change indeed for you? Speaking with, talking to one of those folks the other day, and I was like, you don't change, don't transcend the new year. I'm not being God's presence. He said, yeah, I'll be in God's presence, but after the declaration, I have to leave and go and hang out, and do and that. And I said, no. See, you celebrate one day. The year is 365 days. He said, yes, but you know. I said, no. These things have been misunderstood. What are you celebrating? People celebrated the new year and died in the year. Are you talking about the people that celebrate 2023? Yeah, they died inside 2023. So was it that they were celebrating their death and giving thanks that they were going to die in the new year? Was that what they were celebrating? The feast is a day you acknowledge the first and the second of it, and then the third, for then the reality begins to dawn on you. Don't be unwise. Enter with every sense of seriousness, with every spirituality, so that you are aligned with the prophetic words that have gone forth. And you know, and when you enter the new, you are aware of what he has said to you. When you begin to enter into the realms of the living word of God, the word of God will start talking back to you. You have been reading and reading. Let me see. It comes to a point you don't have to be maybe. You will just know scriptures. Because to you, it's a living being. You think Jesus fulfilled a lot of scriptures. We have about 25 minutes more to go. Jesus fulfilled a lot of scriptures. But when Jesus wanted to fulfill scriptures, he didn't go back to say, okay, Isaiah said I should say I'm thirsty. Okay, Isaiah said I should do this. He was living, but his living lined up with scriptures. You know why? His life was the expression of the living word. He was living in the realm of the word. There was a realm Jesus got to that you won't see in the passage where Jesus narrates the vision. Have you seen the vision of Jesus Christ? Apart from when he said that, I saw it and fall like lightning. You won't see the way Paul narrates an encounter. Jesus didn't narrate an encounter. As a matter of fact, when a voice came and everybody said, it's for your sake. Jesus never said, God just spoke to me. Jesus was not in that realm. Read through scriptures. He said, when the audible voice came, everybody heard, he said, it's for your sake. He said, when he wanted to pray, he said, why I'm praying this prayer? It's so that they will hear. It's for these people. Hence, he would have just asked the dead, give thanks to God inside him. You know why? He was the word, he was living in the realm where the will of God was revealed. He lived in the revealed realm of the will. So his knowing was the knowing of God. His yes was his, was the yes of God. His no was the no of God. He knew what God was saying. That's why you see, his realm was and he knowing within himself. He lived in the realm of the sealed, the seals unsealed continually. That's why you see, even when he was praying in Gethsemane, he wasn't praying from a place of ignorance. He said, if it's possible, he was only trying to see how he could negotiate it. He now said, nevertheless, not my will. You see, that prayer, he was just asking for grace. And that's why, see, the care had to come to minister grace to him again, to strengthen him. He wasn't praying out of ignorance, because he already knew the will of the Father. You could see he was telling his disciples, I'm going to go. He told them by the death. He said, he already told them in John chapter 3, he said, the Son of Man will be lifted, the same way Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Damn scripture. Not so that you can quote and say, I know this, stop that thing. All those things you know don't amount to anything. It's not living inside you. It's just information you have retained in your mind. It's the living word that will profit. That's why I said, the flesh profited nothing. So you have, this is 22nd. You have about 9 days more to transit gloriously with every sense of the divine, possessing indeed weight and cabot, fully informed. And then by the time you enter January, your trajectory has been locked. The same way they use it in ballistic technology, when a pilot wants to, a fighter jet wants to release a nuke or a nuclear weapon, he uses his radar technology and locks the missile to the object he wants to target. And then once it is launched, if the object that is targeted begins to move in any direction, the missile will follow it, because the target has been locked. They call it a locked target. That's what is called a trajectory. The path through which it's following. When you lock your trajectory, because of the word of God that has been founded and installed in your spirit, the living word, I mean, then it locks you in a trajectory. Some people follow the valley of the shadow of death, but God was not with them. That's why they were speaking up. The psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Somehow, the psalmist's trajectory had to follow the valley of the shadow of death. But he didn't fear the evil, because there are evil there in the valley of the shadow of death, because God was with him. So the people who celebrated 2023 and somehow didn't realize that their trajectory will follow through the valley of the shadow of death. The God was not with them, so the evils came upon them. Listen to me. There are evil listed in the years. The people who celebrated 2023, some of them are no more. They were celebrating the year of their death. They entered it anyhow. Listen. Glory to God for the gift of life. Or what? When we are in a crossover service, when the year changes, people are shouting. I can't even shout. I'm just so grateful to God for the privilege again. But I'm very serious. I don't know why I'm happy. They are happy as if the year has ended, as if they were not going to see it. So they are, yeah, and that's it. No, I know that it just started. It's just the beginning. And so with every soberness, I take a posture of worship and gratitude. But every sense of seriousness, now what? Now what? My life will count again in this year. I will become a year older. I will count again in this year. But now what? Then I leave that place with every sense of seriousness. What is the projection? What is the trajectory? That's how it's done, my dear. That's how it's done. This year, I mean, it was a year we were together with several years ago, just about 8 years back. You know, when my family, my mom was around my sister. On the 30th, the evening of the 30th, I left the house. And there was no place, so I went and lodged in the church. And there were this counseling where we hold foundation classes for new converts. I lodged in one, there was no mattress, so I took the fabric and I laid it on the ground. That was 31st. So 31st, from 30th, I was there. I slept over there praying. And you know, glorious things. Can't be cautious. It was in that encounter and that procedure that the word, the year of light, came, that gave birth to the assembly of 2017, which was the emergence of heavenly praises. It was there, that upper room. And I was there until 31st, and I remained in that place 31st until the evening of the crossover, and then from there joined the crossover. And then it was after the crossover, they went home. Separated. So that's the culture. Not to be shouting for what? If many people understood that the year they were shouting and not ready for was the year they would be swallowed up, they wouldn't have shouted when it was 12, when it was 12 a.m. If many people understood that that year they were entering, that was the year that they were going to lose their job because they didn't enter it properly, they wouldn't shout when it's 12. They'll begin to weep. And so because the Jews and the women around didn't understand what the season held for them, when Jesus was going to the cross, they were crying. Jesus said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. Because AD 70, everything will be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed. Don't celebrate it. Be excited and grateful. Appreciate God for it, but hold it with every sense of seriousness. Because the devil has interest in the year. God has interest in the year. Where will you align? And like I showed us in Psalm chapter 16 verse 4, he said the sorrows of God, the sorrows of those that go hasting after God, they'll be multiplied. That means when you try to hold God as something else, your sorrow will multiply. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasting after other gods. So this is a call for every seriousness. The people who know me know that you don't even call me from December anyhow. Not today, many years. You don't call me from default design. I don't even. The phone will not even be on. You can't reach. Then the worst part is that ending part of this. What are you calling me to tell me what? We will take your calls. If you're not my mom or my elder sister, whom I know, call me for something or what, I won't answer your call. Or we had something and I need you to give me feedback. Why are you calling me to tell me what? I'm trying to enter the new year. But since one person is 31st, they are going on out to watch film. What's wrong with you? Watching movie, 31st, cinema. You cross over inside the cinema. Kai. Those are the endangered species of the community. Unless the message of God prevail. It's 12 o'clock. It's all night, but we have brought here. I can go home now. To what? If many knew that year would have swallowed them, when it was 12 a.m., they would have knelt down and started crying. Ah, the hour has come. You can't be sure of what the year holds for you until you are sure of what the year holds. Somebody say, what does that mean? What it means is that until you have received the tables of the year to you, you can't be sure what it holds. Because what is not promised cannot be accomplished. God has promised you safe journey. You know you will arrive. But if you are not sure if they have promised safe journey, you are not sure what will happen. So we go to have the year forged properly. Oh God. We are teaching you this and saying this so that when you step into 2024, you won't shout. I say, yes, the calendar has adjusted. You move the one on your desk and bring in a new desk calendar and change everything. I say, yes, we are in 2024. But really, are you? Is it not the story of 2023 that still follows you? You are still lacking direction. You are still confused. You still don't know what to do. That was the testimony of 2023. How far? Is it a new year for you? Or is it the same year again? Or it has been the same year as all this one? Maybe I haven't seen it in 2017. Because it's the same thing that has been going on. It's time for you to take it serious. The celebration will come on. Excellent. But let it be, Father, the forthcoming year. What do you want? Father, the forthcoming year. As you are eating, the forthcoming year. You are feasting, you are out with a group of friends to thank God for the season, celebrating the birth of the Lord as the season is given, delivered to us to mark his birth into the world, which is the reason which gave hope to us and is a doorway into salvation, as his birth brought his growth and, you know, his death also. But Father, after this, what next? What does it hold? From here where, Father, you bear it in your heart. And like I said to somebody that I've taught us before, God hears the thoughts of your heart. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. What is acceptability? The scripture said, an offering well pleasing and acceptable. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Why is David saying that meditation should be acceptable? Because the meditation also is going off as prayer and incense. So you can be praying in your heart as your thought. And really, you don't need to have privacy to think. Or offer your thoughts, because you can, it's inside of you. You have your privacy. I've told you, 2024 can be elevation for you, or it will be depression for some. It's all before you. How do I align properly with the prophecy? Acquaint yourself with Him. And how does God reveal Himself? The basics have been revealed to you, and then the centrality has been given to you. You have the world. As you separate yourself unto the world, the fellowship, that you may know the God of the world, and that the living word of God, the word that will be revealed, the word of God will come to you from scriptures. And then when you enter the new year, you'll be sure of what God has promised, and then you will lock your trajectory. And so that you follow the pathways. And even if the pathway follow the value of the shadow of death, you won't fear any evil. Say, God is with me. God didn't tell me about death this year. So Satan, you just get out of my sight. So really, I didn't see job loss. It's not even possible. It didn't follow in the script. And then Satan said, wow, this one, just let her go.
She's the light of God's word, and she is bright because all her activities are exposed. Let her go, let her go, let her go. But there comes a one that, this one is walking the valley of the shadow of death, and there's darkness, and there's no rod and staff. Satan can't speak in tongue, but they'll speak something in their language. It's alright, alright, alright. This is an endangered special. Not your portion. For everyone who is here tonight, God will give you the word that will secure your passage through the coming year till the end.
Amen.
In the name of the word that will secure you safe passage. Somebody, when there is, glory to God, when there is a problem in a plane and somebody wants to pass through a disturbed state, the present or the diplomatic pass can be given to you so that when you pass through this, they say, okay, who are you? Where's your pass? You show this from the king. So I let him go, let him go. That's safe passage. The word of God that will secure you above every doubt, that the forthcoming year is never a year you can be swallowed in. That word will be delivered to you over the course of these remaining days in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you are within this transitory period, into the forthcoming season, all that makes for life and godliness and what is yet remaining to balance the season of your life, they will be delivered to you on these tablets. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise. I believe that we have been equipped with things. Now let me say this. Those of us that are joining you today, some of us yesterday were not here, for the purpose of importance, as a matter of necessity, the audience for this meeting yesterday and today will be prepared. People will be working on it, produced and properly worked on, and we made for you, available for us between now and Christmas. That is by Monday, it will be available to you as a gift. Please go on your retreat with them. Hear what was said yesterday, which today is a continuation of. And go on retreat with the message, hearing it. Listening to what is being said, seals will be opened over your head. And also, please do somebody the good of sharing this message, say, as you are crossing over, separating yourself to God. Please listen to these two messages as a wing, or as wings you will fly, ride on to the new year, as they will give you direction and clarity. Some of us are here today, we are not here yesterday. Get them. Also, they are an unbelievable access of messages that are already available here that will bless your heart and answer questions. It will just unbelievably impact you. We talked about the testimony of one of us here who went to listen to the New Year broadcast of 2023, where we talked about the eagle's wings. While she was listening to the message, then we said something in the message, and immediately she heard it, she was flung into a realm. That's her word. She said, I was flung into the prophetic. And in that meeting, we were talking about the prophetic ministry and the wings of the eagle, and explaining the things that will be on how people shall ride on the wings of eagles, and how the wings of the eagles refer to this and that. And then out of that word, the living word of God showed up and pulled her into a realm. And we know what happened. That pulling opened up a seed in her heart. The seed was actually a word she was getting in her spirit that had not dropped fully with comprehension. But after that encounter with that word opened. She now got insight, and then the word of the Lord began to flow into her spirit, which led her to carry out a step that brought forth results immediately. Doubling investments in the market, and not markets where they sell yams, what they call the financial market where money is a commodity of trade. It just doubled it in 12 hours.
what was invested was doubled. Double is 100%. That means there was 100%. People make investments, I got 20% gain. That's good. Doubling means you go 100%. You put up 1 million, you go 1 million. So it was 100% in profit you made within 12 hours. So there are arrays of messages that are available on the platform. Look at the Eagle's Wings. We have the tablets of tables of testimony. We have the light, the revelation, the light and the glory. We have a light to the Gentiles. We have the fellowship of heaven's company, heaven on earth. We have the Oikonomia series. We have the whole series of realms in Christ, where we talked about understanding realms, realms and Christ, the reality of realms. And there are messages you hear that Jesus Christ is willing to reveal it, that Christ is waiting for you in the message to just be revealed. And we gave the message to some, there are just testimonies about it. I don't even know the folks. As some of them, we just give them, some don't even know where they want. Just there's a message to it. So there are a lot of things. You desire to have a closer walk with Jesus Christ, go to the series on realms in Christ. They are there, just there. Start from one, realms, the reality of realms, understanding realms in Christ. Just depths of insight that we just open and unseal mysteries in your spirit. That's how you know God. Because those are not teachings, let's preach, let's do sermon. They are unveilings of Jesus Christ. And that is why you see that the man who reveals Christ to us the more is the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he had his ministry was the unveiling of Jesus Christ through the revelation of words, through his revelation that he used words. That's why I say that we use the word spiritual words. You know what I said? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I say using spiritual words to convey spiritual truths. So you have all the resources, and there are a whole lot of them. We are telling you because they are just things for you to have access to. They are lying there. Keep them on. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Let's go and let's give God praise for tonight. I know that we have been equipped, and now we have direction on certain things to do. You enter the year casually. There are certain dimensions that we operate by God's grace. It's not like men laid hands on us. It was the word of God we encountered that brought us into it. Years ago, we just began to follow the word. And then at the end of the year, Jesus, oh my God, we almost ran away from ourselves because the access into Christ was just given. Deep. I'm like, where are all these things coming from? But we just tarried with the words of Christ for long. And then at the end of the year, trying to enter the next day, then the revelation of Jesus Christ just, sir, the following year, the realm we began to operate, even us knew it wasn't. All dimensions of gift, graces, and authority, the revealed personality of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, occurring in meetings. One of those folks are there, where people are running in meetings saying, see Jesus there, see Jesus there. I want to touch him. Let me go there. And then they run and come to where we are standing and they just fall on the ground. And it's not like it was us. There was some, the Christ was being revealed out of us. So they were not seeing us again. They were seeing the Christ. It's not by lane. It was the encounter with the words of Christ. The living word. There's just so much you can access. Who laid hands on the person that laid hands on the person? Somewhere along the line, somebody found it through God's words. I know we trust God for mantle and graces and all that, but do you see a place? Paul began to open blinders and cripples began to walk. It began when Christ was revealed to him. My God. This year, that is the fourth, when you are entering next year, you become another thing. For many that are here, by the time you enter next year, literal fire, you will know you are a living fire. You will know you are a living oracles of God. Because you will not be deceived. There are many people, the gates of this year, as you cross it, you are turning into another personality. There are many people, as you transit from this year, giving heed to the instructions you hear, you become another being in Christ. When Satan sees your eyes, he will see flame. It's never about the devil, it's about destiny. A time will come, we'll teach the words of Christ, we'll make mention of the devil, because he can't be there. It's not going to be about the devil, it's destiny fulfillment. This time, this year you are entering, this year, as you are entering, as a different person. After that encounter, people may be, what happened? You have changed. It was still me, but something changed. Why? The living word. Sir, I have never felt God's word in that dimension. Prior to that, we were operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, seeing signs, healings, instant healings, omana, the word of God, preaching mysteries, glory to God. But when that depth came, it was as if what was happening before, when you begin to wonder, what was that? And from that time to now, it's just another level. Some things just come and found your feet on Christ. He said, Christ is the rock. He said, no other foundation can any man lay with but that which is Christ, which is Christ. He founds your feet as if he don't, you know the way they cast a pillar to the ground, as if he cast your feet to Christ. So when you stand firm, immovable, because some living word now resides in you. You will not enter 2024 a normal man. It's your year of living according to the supernatural written about you. It will come to you by the revelation of the word of God. Father, we give you praise. Lebretes ketere bebes kutre la babash. So soak yourself apart. Celebrate, be grateful to God for the season. But soak yourself apart. I say separate yourself. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify. And you'll be preserved. Congratulations. Let's give God praise. Thank you. Father, thank you for these people, for these men, for these women, for these brethren that are here. We give you praise. We give you praise. Go ahead, let's bless his name. It's Peter, dear. Mash ketolo brataska bradadash. For everyone who is connected here tonight, we want to release a prayer out over you. Can you just connect your heart to the Spirit tonight, to this word? Remember, we said the words are living. So even the words we speak also, God can pass through and reveal himself to you. It was the word that the person listened to the audio heard, and then God passed through it and revealed himself to her. So I want to pray for you that God will reveal himself to you. But before that, I want you to make a fresh commitment to God again and ask God for mercy and grace and ask God for strength. Come on now, pray. Talk to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for mercy and grace. I'm here before you again. Cleanse my heart. Purge me, purify me by the water of the Spirit. My heart, I come to yield myself to you again. Say to him, I seek grace, I will do your will. I seek grace, I will do your will. His grace I will to do it. I will to do it. I do your will after the inner man, after the inward man. Say to him, I seek grace now. It's your will I want to do. I'm here, I'm yielding to you forever yours. Kobaratash Kaparadabaladas.
Shakaba Baba 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 Baba
Jesus.
Amen.
If you can, you can just pay attention. Father, I thank you for the men and these women here. I speak over you and I breathe upon you the breath of the Ruach HaKodesh. There's something called in Hebrew the Ruach HaKodesh. It means the breath of the Spirit, the breath of the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach Kodesh. the breath of the Holy. Adam was lifeless on the ground. He was, I say, and God formed man out of the dust. It formed a template. But then he breathed into him the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath, and he became living. Every dead spiritual practice, you know, there's what is called dead works. Works that many people is dead works. Their devotion is dead works. There's no life. They are just following a mechanical arrangement. There's struggle. Every dead work in your life, tonight, fresh breath. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Come alive inside of you. In the name of Jesus. Fresh breath. The word of God will be living to you. It won't be a mechanical operation. It will be living to you. Freshness. Breath of the Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. The living breath of God. Receive. Be filled tonight afresh. He said, be not drunk in wine. Here he said, but be filled with the Spirit. The wind, the living breath, what gives life? He said, for you were born of the incorruptible word of God, which liveth. Being born of God, the seed of God's word is inside you, because it was the raw material for which your spirit was recreated. The living breath and experience of that word. Enter into that depth where you begin to have experience. Tangible experience. Tangible experience. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Freshness. And right now I decree every organ of your body that is failing. Whatever is wrong with your body. Whatever is wrong with your body. Abdominal pains. Pains at the back. Whatever is wrong with you. Your temple. Whatever is a sickness in your body, tonight, you won't see them by the end of tonight. In the name of Jesus, whatever has been an affliction and a sickness, this you are dropping them at this end part of the year. They are coming up, you are dropping them off at this end part of the year. You are progressing from now as you are going to the new year with every baggage of sickness and disease dropped off you. It's going away with the year as it has passed and as it is passing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What that means is strength. You are entering with strength, health, vitality, robustness, vigor, and acne. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, anyone who is a victim tonight of whatever oppression of the devil that is maligning or bedeviling your spiritual growth, tonight we raise a standard against it and it is forbidden. Spirit of lukewarmness and backsliding, we arrest the activity of that spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your fervency for God is ignited afresh in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Fresh fire, quickened, lights. Inflamed again, reflamed, and lighted again. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever is the depth of God that you used to have, that is as though you don't have them anymore. Depth of God that you used to have, and as though you don't have them anymore. Tonight, that altar is rekindled. There's somebody that used to be very fervent. You know how you are with God. Tonight, but all of a sudden, tonight that altar is restored.
Amen.
You will use the altar. The fire will come when it is rebuilt. But this time the fire will be more intense. Because the glory of the latter is always greater than the glory of the former. You will rebuild the altar. That's what somebody is going to do this season. To rebuild, to reconstruct that which has failed, which is failing, and rebuild it. And when it is ready and set, you will pour your life on it as the drink offering. You will pour your life in it, on it as the drink offering, and into it. And then the fire from on high will descend, greater volume. And then the fire will be greater than ever. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody that before the year ends, you will have a definite experience and encounter with Jehovah. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That 31st will not come before you will have the encounter with Jehovah. An encounter of a lifetime, a genuine encounter with Jehovah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I decree and declare, it's a new season for you.
Amen.
Your destiny will be opened for you to begin to walk in your destiny. The tables of those dimensions will be handed over to you in this season as you prepare into the new year. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is done. It is done.
Amen.
Go ahead. Okay, there's testimonies of revivals already. And ignition. Go ahead. Thank God. Give him praise and worship him. Bless his own name. Thank you, my dear God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.